In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. The book of Ruth is only four chapters long, taking only a few pages, but it certainly could be made into a motion picture-length movie. The action is intense, moving, and full of turning points in which decisions will reshape each character's life. The book of Ruth has also gotten a good bit of tension in recent years among biblical scholars. There's much in it which provides insight into the lives of women at this time and indeed since. It welcomes feminist critique about patriarchy and marriage, but most of all, the book of Ruth is a proverb about life itself. The storyline is easy to summarize on one level. We meet a Jewish husband and wife who have left their home country of Judah and traveled to Moab. They have done so to escape a famine back home. While in this strange and pagan land, their two sons marry Moabite wives. But then tragedy begins to strike. First, Naomi, the matriarch, loses her husband. Fortunately, she still has her two sons to protect her in this foreign land, but after 10 years, the sons die as well. These now three widowed women, Naomi, and daughters-in-law Ruth and Orpha, are left perilously alone. The good news is that Naomi has received a report that the famine has ended back in Judah. In an act of profound courage, the three women set off to Naomi's hometown of Bethlehem. This is a central turning point in the story. Naomi would be returning home, but her two daughters-in-law would be going to a strange land. The only country Orpha and Ruth know is their native Moab. Would they find a husband in Judah? Would they be accepted as aliens? How will Naomi herself survive as an older widow and care for them? At some point in the journey, it's unclear exactly when, Naomi realizes that she's asking too much of her daughters-in-law. We can vividly imagine the scene. Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, we heard in our lesson. Orpha and Ruth now face the biggest decision in their life. They have been released to go home, but what will they choose? Orpha will choose to return. Ruth clings to Naomi. What follows is one of the most moving acts of devotion in Scripture, as Naomi makes one last effort to get Ruth to join her sister. Naomi said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and even more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. What will transpire after this point? I'll leave you with a cliffhanger. I'll only say that things will work out well for Naomi and Ruth in the end. And of Orpha, we are only left to wonder. Yet it's precisely at this point of wondering that I would like us to focus. because it is there that the story has much to say to us, I believe. It is the point at which it touches our lives directly. As we journey ourselves in the lives and our life of faith, there are decision points for us as well, moments on which everything hangs. Sometimes we can see that clearly, sometimes not at those decision points, but later they prove to be critical to the course of our lives. I recall here an article I read some years back about people of advanced age reflecting back on their lives. What decisions had they made? Did they now wish otherwise? What struck me was how they all seemed to converge on this one point. Looking back, they all said they wished they had been more brave, more courageous, taken more risks. The life of faith is a life of courage. Certainly, it is a life in which impulsive behavior is not commended. Prudence is a virtue for a reason. But it can also be a vice. There's a difference between prudence and simple cowardice masquerading as prudence. There are times when we are called in faith to step out, to not count the cost, but to enter the realm of radical trust. I'll be the first to confess that it is counter to my core temperament, but every time I have looked back over my life, it is those missed moments of stepping out bravely that have changed everything for me, often in ways I can only wonder about. Well, we can only speculate on what became of Orpha, who went back to her people in Moab. This much we know. She has left the God of Israel, left a life grounded in the covenant and holy laws of God's chosen people. She has been prudent, perhaps in a worldly sense, but not in a spiritual and eternal sense. Her mother-in-law has released her to her own decision. She has decided one way, Ruth another, and their two lives will be radically different in the religious and spiritual sense. Will Orpha find herself before some idol one day with her new husband, wondering if she's squandered her inheritance for a bowl of porridge? We don't know, but we do know our own story. You know, as a good Episcopalian, I cringe with you when I stumble on those little religious pamphlets left at train stations and on public counters. You know, the Are You Saved pamphlets and Where Will You Spend Eternity? There's a presumptuousness about them and often some quite suspect theology as well. But what is right about them is the sense that it actually matters. The decisions we make in life, in the life of faith, to live it authentically or half-heartedly or not at all, that decision really matters. Billy Graham used to talk in his evangelistic rallies about the moment of decision. In reality, there are many moments of decision. They appear again and again in the life of the believer. Will I step out in faith? Here, there, will I, in the words of Scripture, persevere until the end? Part of what makes the life of faith so interesting is the gift as well as the challenge of those moments. Some of us are indeed temperamentally more bold than others. I always say that Mother Sue has that courageous quality much more than I do. Rectors are called to be more prudent, to be sure. But if you want to seek spiritual direction at a tough turning point, I would highly recommend stopping by Mother Sue's office first. Spiritual guts is one of Sue's many virtues. Religious, spiritual guts. It's the road less traveled. But it's not a road that can be avoided. Turning points are real. Decisions actually matter. The life of faith really calls us to them again and again. like Ruth and Orpha, but fortunately these things are held in the mercy and providence of God. While we can all look back on decisions and may wish in retrospect we had been more brave, we can equally find those many cases where we've been saved from ourselves, our own foolishness, by divine intervention and given unmerited gifts from above. God's loving providence is always greater than we can see. Yet today, it is Ruth and Orpha. It is one who turns back and one who goes on. So the turning point calls. Orpha or Ruth? Safe or blessed? We are to be Ruth. We are to claim the living Lord. Prudence is not always a virtue. Faith always is. Courage. Take heart. God loves you and will never leave you when he has called you to be brave. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.